great. This isn't a video podcast.
Oh, thank God.
You're in luck. Yes. You're in luck. Thank you hear God. That, everybody? If you're really jonesing for video content, it's because of Arthi that we don't have any of this one.
Yeah, I don't want to show my mug right now. It's
by the way, your mug tight. Looks great.
No, it doesn't.
It does look good.
Look at it. Look, let me come closer.
No, I can see. I can see plenty. I saw you every day for 3 days, first thing in the morning.
Right.
You have a beautiful mug.
That was so much fun, wasn't it?
It was so nice. Are you going to go to London?
I don't know. I'm looking at the tickets.
I'm tempted,
only because I don't travel much. I'm using them as my travel itinerary guide.
That's great. So Watcho Crappens is doing live shows in Birmingham, London, and Dublin.
Yes. Dublin is the one I want to go to.
I know, me too.
I've never been to Ireland.
Me either.
Oh, tools, we are coming for you.
No, and also like Irish solidarity, because we're in a very major anti-colonialist era. And You know what? The Irish fucking hate the colonizers. Yeah,
for me, it's like the flag is sideways, but it's the same flag as India.
You know what it is? All they're missing is the Chekha in the middle.
Yes. The colors match.
Yeah, they do. Well, yeah, it was so much fun. I debated it. My cousin's getting married like a week later, and I was like, do I need to be at her bridal shower?
This is your close. This is your sister. You're like, there's nobody in your family that you're closer to than this girl, okay?
I'm planning it.
Yeah. I was like, if it was Raheel's wedding, I would say, sure, go. Raheel would understand. It's fine. But not hers.
I know. If it was Raheel's wedding, he'd be like, honestly, nobody come. Please. Please. No one come.
Raheel might come with you. He might be let me come with you.
He would.
He should have come to Crappens.
You know what?
So many people were asking for him.
I know. Well, which was really offensive to me, obviously.
It was really offensive to me. Forget about you. So I'm like, I'm right here. I know I'm wearing a cake of makeup that woman put on as a Jesus.
You know, I didn't even mention that.
I know. So we got schooled.
we got glam. Because Shannon Anthony, our dear friend Shannon, was like, I'm going to get my makeup done. And we're like, yeah, we're in LA. By the way, when I'm on vacation, I'm a menace to my bank account. I'm like,
I realize that because you were a menace to my bank account. They're like, yeah, sure, you should get it.
Yeah, I just am swiping left and right. Okay, so Shannon said, I'm getting my makeup done. This girl's coming and she's got time and I can, you can do her. Okay, fine. Lovely girl. So sweet. All that stuff.
She was a pixie too. She was like so tiny. And
she was itty bitty.
She was so cute. And we were like, oh my God.
She was so sweet. But we're hanging
out. That chair was taller than her.
Yeah. We're all hanging out. We're having a nice time. We're getting our makeup done. We're having drinks and talking about real life stuff. Mm-hmm. And we thought everything was fine. And then she gave us these little kits with our little like touch-up, lip touch-up and makeup wipe.
Oh, this was Priv too. It was Priv. Yeah.
It was through Priv.
Yes.
And then we looked inside of the little baggies she gave us and it had Bible verses. And the whole time we were getting our makeup done, we were like, fuck organized religion.
I know.
Church ladies are the worst. I'm going to get an abortion after the show.
Yes. We were talking all politics, all everything. And she was standing there smiling. She had this smile plastered over her face.
Poor thing.
And I thought we were entertaining her because we were being funny too. So I thought, oh, she's finding us funny. She must have been so uncomfortable.
She went back and she's going to talk about it on her podcast.
Mm-hmm. I believe she put an extra layer of makeup on my face just to get back at me for everything. Because when I first saw her, I was like, I don't know if you can get my shade just right, because I'm always afraid.
Yeah.
People tend to go darker for me rather than, you know, my skin color.
Yeah.
And it always, because they go for the darker parts of my face, and then I look very different. My face looks very different from the rest of my body.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I should go get my own makeup. She's like, I've been doing this for 12 years. I can do this.
How has she been doing it for 12 years if she's 12?
If she's 12, right? And I was such a pushover. The minute I had offended her and she was saying this to me, I was like, fine, do whatever you want. I'll pay you. And I was like, if it's really bad, I'll just go wipe my face. I'll go wash it up. But I'm not. Now I feel so bad about telling her that she might not get my shade right. Well, she didn't get my shade right.
But you looked lovely. Did you fix it up a little bit afterwards? You guys said
I did, but I felt like a completely different person.
Did you fix your face afterwards?
I did.
Yeah.
I went downstairs and wiped a layer off.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I obviously had to do that too. I like went and fixed up my face a little bit. Yeah. I always find that unless it is a makeup artist who is familiar with brown or who has brown skin, to be honest, like it's hard. I usually go to an artist who is black or brown anyway. That's my preference. Right. But so it happens. They always draw on your eyebrows too dark. Right. Like she was like, how does everything look? And when you were getting your makeup done, and I was like, maybe the eyebrows.
Yeah, you were like, your eyes were like bulging. You're like, you couldn't hide it. You were like,
I can't.
And then you were whispering behind her back, eyebrows. You need to wipe off the eyebrows. I was like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. I was like, I was like, the more I looked at you, the more I panicked that she was messing me up.
You looked beautiful, and your makeup stayed into the morning the next day. Yours and Anna's.
So did the eyelashes that I've never gotten before. And incredible. I was like, oh, I like these. They felt heavy at first, but then I was like, you know what? This is what I should have had. God messed me up. I mean, like, this is what I have right now is not what I deserve.
Well, listen, that's like the story of both of our lives. Like, this is fine, but I think that I deserve better than this. Haven't I proven myself enough?
I know, right? Come on. Like, why? Why'd you have to, stop right there? You could have given me a little bit more on the eyelids.
Yeah. So we don't have to feel bad about it because she gave us Bible verses. I still have mine. I didn't look at the one she gave me. It's in my little travel bag. I haven't looked at the
one she gave me either. When Sharon told me that, I was like, okay. And I put it away and I never looked at it.
The one that she gave Shannon, though, I do have. I'm going to read it. Where is it? Ah, there it is. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if where's the perfect gift of nicer eyelashes? How about that? These are handwritten Bible verses.
Oh, they're handwritten. I didn't even look at them.
Yeah, it was handwritten.
You guys told me and I just threw it into my purse. I'm not even looking at it. I have to dig it out of my purse, out of my travel purse to see what mine said. But
all right. Well, people have been clamoring for you. Even though they were asking about Raheel in LA, they have been saying, how come, when's Aarti coming back?
I was right there next to her. You guys didn't recognize me. I was the slightly, drunk,
miscolored person,
slightly drunk, extra brown person who had taken a gummy and didn't quite know where she was and needed to go to the bathroom and was like pulling Noor away so she could show me where the toilet was.
Yeah, correct.
Did I tell you about the restroom when I went downstairs? You told me to go in the back and into the green room to go to the restroom. Well, the restrooms open into that big room where everybody gathered afterwards, including Shishu, right?
Yeah.
So they're all standing there. So I go into the one that was, there was one that was just a toilet. And then there was another one that had like a dressing room and a bath and a toilet and all of that. Yeah. And it was too brightly lit. I went into the toilet one. It didn't lock. There was no lock on the door.
no.
So then I'm like, shit, okay, I had to really go. So I came back and I went into the other one, which was actually much cleaner, but it was brightly lit because it was also where people were putting on the makeup. Uh-huh. And the door closed, but it barely the latch, you know, it was that one thing that goes vertical.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if it was locked or not because it was so flimsy. And Shishu and her people are right outside of it, right? And I'm like peeing and I'm like, I hope nobody opens the door because if you open that door, I'm like well lit in like a spotlight and I'm sitting on the toilet.
I wish that Shishu came in and you could have said, corner!
I was panicking. I peed so fast that day. I was like, oh my God, fast. And then I ran into the corner to wear my pants again. I was like, no, this is terrible. I don't want to be exposed like this to all of Ben and Ronnie's friends.
Oh, my God.
That would have been so embarrassing.
It would have been amazing.
No, it wouldn't have been amazing.
No, it would not have been amazing. It would have been amazing for me, but not for you.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Ben and Ronnie would have been like, you are never coming backstage again, ever.
This is why we don't let you guys backstage. And you somehow get back there every time anyway. Okay, I have been like really struggling with Potomac, but this was probably the best episode of Potomac we've had in a while.
Yeah, because they finally semi-confronted the issues.
Yeah,
they still aren't talking. It's like the problem is that they have so much issue that it's so deep that if they had to have a fight, it would lead to a big fight where people would quit.
Yeah,
and they don't want to lose a paycheck. So and everyone is towing the line. Everyone hates the coworker, their coworkers. They are towing the line. It's become a toxic workplace for everybody. And they're towing the line until the reunion when they want to hash it out. They are saving so much ammunition for the reunion that the season has sucked.
Big correct. They're all like playing chicken with each other. Of like, who's going to say what first?
Chicken shit bingo is what they've been doing. This whole season has been a big chicken shit bingo.
It has. But this episode, they're in Punta Cana. Or no, yeah, they're in the Dominican Republic. They're in Casa de Campo. Have you ever been to Casa de Campo?
No.
I have.
Yeah.
Not like to stay. Like, I was visiting a cousin who lived in Santo Domingo, and they were like, well, we could take you to Casa de Campo. I was like, cool. Yeah. And then they took us there just for the day, and it is fabulous.
Okay.
I went on my 40th birthday there.
I should have my 50th there, but no one's planning it.
It's too – oh, my God. It's so – well, either you go to London for the Crappens shows, or we go to plan your thing. Anyway, so they're there. It's lovely. They before they go out to play nighttime golf, Robin and Giselle crown NECA as the new Grand Dame of Potomac, which leads into one of my favorite things that happens in Maryland. On Potomac, mm-hmm. which is zip code fights.
Yep.
Fighting about where we actually live.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've said, technically speaking, I mean, if NECA is the first homeowner in Potomac proper.
She's the only one that lives in
Potomac. She is the only, you know, the actual Grand Dame of Potomac, unfortunately for all of us, is Shasha.
Yes. She lives in Potomac. Yes, you're right.
She lives in Potomac.
What's her name lives in Potomac, but she lives in, she's a rental.
Yeah, Grand Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like North Potomac versus buyer versus renter versus Bethesda, mm-hmm. which was my favorite thing that Karen said. Karen's like, okay, whatever. I'm talking to Giselle because she doesn't even live in Potomac. She lives in Bethesda. Which, like, by the way, Bethesda is really nice.
It's so very nice. It's super nice. And it's about 20 minutes from Potomac. So it's not... Maryland is a very tiny, tiny state.
Yeah.
So even though these places are real close by, they take longer only because of traffic. But otherwise, they're actually quite nearby. You could bike a good – somebody with healthy biking legs could bike from Potomac to Bethesda and not really feel it.
I mean, technically
– not me, but somebody else could.
Neither of us. No. Yeah. I don't have the legs for that.
Yeah.
Are Potomac and Bethesda both Montgomery County?
Yes.
Who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? It's Moco. Moco is Moco. All of Moco is one. Moco is small. And, you know, in Maryland specifically, we talk about counties. We mention which county we live in. We don't say cities. We don't, because it's like a sprawling. Counties are like cities. They're sprawling and people are spread out through the county. So, yeah, they're in Montgomery County, both of them.
Where does Robin live again?
Robin is in Howard County, in my county.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
That's and further then, north and east.
And Wendy lives in, like, Fredericks.
Wendy is at the border of Frederick and Montgomery County. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she's also very, very far.
Yes.
Does anybody live in PG County?
I don't know. Nobody does. And Ashley doesn't even live in Maryland.
She lives in Virginia.
Virginia.
So. So, like, Karen...
And I think Candace also lives somewhere.
I think she lives in Howard County.
Howard County. Or, I mean, Candace lives in Montgomery County, too, somewhere. Okay. So, because her case with Monique was filed in Montgomery County. So, I know that she lives there.
But what, do you think that was filed there because of where the winery was?
Oh, that's true. The winery was in Montgomery County. So, well, I don't know where Candace
is. Scene of the crime. Yeah. Okay. So my favorite thing about this whole season has been Karen, because Karen is having a great time. It's just a shame because the rest of the season has been such shit. But even when Karen is annoyed about the new grand daming of NECA, she keeps saying, congratulations to you for being the 20854 grand dam and whatever her zip code is.
She's like, we will have tea as grand dams do of two neighboring counties or two neighboring cities. We belong to a different class.
She says, NECA is a good sport. Moving to the outskirts of Potomac. Bless her heart. The outskirts of Potomac.
Well, the Grand Dame is actually technically right. Potomac is a different place than North Potomac.
Yeah.
And it's a whole other place that's north of Potomac.
Yeah.
So she's right in that.
She also says this gem, which is about Giselle. She says, this is no crowning. This is clowning.
And she puts a clown face. She's like,
oh my God.
I was like, oh, grandam is grandaming. She is. NECA could never. NECA could never.
No, she could never. You know, they get to dinner and there's a scene where, what's her face? Mia asks Giselle about her daughter going to college at an HBCU in Florida. Mm-hmm. It's a legit. I was like, oh, which producer told you to ask that question, Mia?
Yeah.
I didn't know Mia had it in her.
Yeah. So, but remember, Mia comes from Miami, right?
No.
I thought she was in Miami, or she worked in Miami. When she was at Bar One, she was like saying that she used to work down there.
Who knows? Nobody. Yeah. She also, this episode, guys, spoiler alert, said that she had inheritance as a working stripper.
Whole theory about it.
But I can't wait. But Mia asked this question about, you know, Giselle's daughter going to school in Florida and how she feels about that, since Florida is like not a great place to be right now. Mm-hmm. And Giselle answers the best. I think it's a great answer, to be honest. Right. But the whole time, Wendy and Candace are kind of just staring at each other and speaking from their eyes.
Yeah.
And this is where it annoyed me, because like even in the confessional, Candace doesn't say why she's annoyed with this conversation.
And even in next week's coming up, there's clips going around. They don't say exactly what they meant by those, you know, looking at each other like that. But I have theories on that.
What's your theory?
My theory is that, you know, Wendy and Candace's issue with Giselle has been the, you know,
colorism.
And they have mentioned to her that you may approach life as, you know, with a light skin, but your daughters are dark skin. And they mentioned it, right? Yeah. So that for them, they are like, now she understands what we would be going through. So that's the look that they were getting. Now she gets it. You know, now she says she's thinking about the color of her skin when her daughter is going to Florida and she's talking about it. That's where they're coming from. But also, I don't think they thought that there may be some history with Giselle not really being political and not really speaking up on these things before, and now she's speaking up on it. So that was, I thought that was the look that they were giving each other. Oh, okay, so now she gets it. When it's her daughter, now she gets it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I don't believe that I've seen Giselle be very vocal about political stuff. Mm-hmm. Jamal, by the way, guys. Jamal Bryant.
Yeah.
That's a preacher who knows how to preach. He is...
He may not practice what he preaches, but he does know how to preach.
He is out there mm-hmm. wearing the Palestinian flag at mm-hmm. his mega church in Atlanta.
Right.
Listen.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing with his baby mamas.
Yeah.
But he is supporting a free Palestine. So it is, that is what it is.
He supports all babies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So... maybe that is it. I think that's a really good point of being like, oh, now she wants to have an opinion and talk about politics. And now, like, now you want to, because it's very possible that Giselle in the past has been like, this isn't stuff that we should be talking about on this show. Like, we shouldn't be talking about.
I don't want to assume that she said it. I just know that she doesn't interfere. She doesn't interact in those ways.
Yeah.
And then when they talked about colorism, Giselle didn't give them a more nuanced, hey, my daughters have darker skin, and you know, and they were trying to explain to her, and she just didn't seem to get it that there could be colorism, right? And what they wanted was an acknowledgement that if there is colorism, it's not because of something I'm doing, it's about how other people are perceiving us, the two people, right? And so if there is colorism, then I acknowledge that I might have had some advantages because of that. That's all they needed to hear, but she didn't really.
Yeah, she just said there's no such thing.
But again, I am speculating here. We don't know what Candace and Wendy were really thinking or making eyes about. Giselle didn't see it, but Robin saw it, and Robin thought it had something to do with Grace and the school. And I don't think, in fact, Wendy even chimed in afterwards and gave like her, you know, political two piece that, as if she was on a TV show. She's like, yeah, this is what's happening and blah, blah, blah. She gave her opinion on that, and they acknowledged it, what Grace might go through and how fucked up Florida is right now. They did acknowledge that. I think they were having a whole other private conversation between the two of them about how Giselle can understand. Giselle is smart enough to understand all of this, but willfully does not understand Candace and Wendy when she wants to. And so that is the part that bothers them.
So I had this assessment about what's going on in Potomac last week, which is that, and I've told you this too, which is that like Candace and Wendy take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And Giselle and Ashley are dedicated to not taking this seriously at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen has switched over from the taking herself too seriously to not taking herself very seriously boat. She mm-hmm. still props herself up like she's sitting on the fence, man. She is the fence.
She is the fence. She's laid down. She's, you know. She is the fence, and she is fine with it. She loves being the fence too, because then she doesn't have to pick sides.
And then you ride her.
Yeah, you ride her, and you know, in the end, I love that when Ashley said, you know, we don't know what Karen means or what she's saying, but we love her.
Yeah,
and that's all Karen wants. In the end of the day, Karen wants to be loved, and if they will love her for being goofy, if they love her for being the Lulu, if they love her for being the wise grand dame, whatever the reasons may be for you to love me, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm just open to receiving your love. Yeah, exactly. However you want to give it to me, I'll take it.
Right.
Maybe all of her wet dreams are about being ridden as a fence.
She was like, okay, how do I answer this in a sentence that can go on a t-shirt?
Yeah, pretty much.
She was like, okay, where do I take this from? I don't want to give it any air. I don't want to be serious about stuff here. So I'm just going to say whatever comes to my mind and you know, take them down a path that will make them laugh. And that's it.
And I think the other difference is that Karen has not, her online persona is still a person that is fairly isolated from like engaging in the discourse, and I think that also helps.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Giselle, by the way, people forget this, like, Candace can get nasty on social media, but before Candace joined the show, the biggest monster on Twitter was Giselle. Giselle mm-hmm. used to go on Twitter every single week in the beginning of Potomac when the show started and talk shit about everybody, Giselle and Ashley. Mm-hmm. And when Candace joined the show, she obviously did her part of it, which didn't help. But then Ashley and Giselle always do the thing where they do a thing when you do that same thing. She says, they always say, oh, how could you do that? But you have Candace and Wendy, the serious. Mm-hmm. And Giselle and Ashley, the deeply unserious. Mm-hmm. Karen is now moving over into the unserious part because she's taken on this online, this like reality TV persona.
Right.
Because she doesn't have much to lose. Like, mm-hmm. this is her one job. All she has this, this and candles and now a farm and a key to the Surrey County.
She has a lot. See how many she has that fax machine. She has Matt. She has her wigs. She has a lot. You're listing all of the stuff that she has. Yeah. She has a lot going on.
Right. She's got the whole house of Huger.
Yeah.
But like Robin is in the middle because Robin has a serious thing that she cares about that she could lose, which is her marriage.
Robin is actually also on the serious side.
She is, but she takes herself so seriously, but she wants to move and be surrounded by the people who don't take themselves seriously, right. But she doesn't fit in that bucket.
Right.
And somebody sent me, actually, I'm going to read it because somebody sent me a message on Instagram or Twitter or something, which I felt like really like, nailed what the issue is right now on Potomac and like mm-hmm. how you have the two camps. Hold on, I'm gonna find it because it was a really good one. Hold on. Okay, it was Sean. Hi, Sean. He said, the core issue for this season and last is that the OGs are fighting to make Potomac a comedy mm-hmm. where they malign each other and move on. And the new guard is fighting for more serious topics to be explored on the show. And both are resentful that their side seems to be winning. Candace always feels maligned by the network because they favor the Green-Eyed Bandits. And the Green-Eyed Bandits are furious that Wendy and Candace have won the social media battle. And I was like, that's the problem. Like, that is exactly it.
Right.
And that's why it's like not fun because sometimes when they're all together, they're all having a good time. Like the next day when they're playing these games and we find out that Mia is apparently not a gold digger because she is an heir to something, an heiress to something.
Yeah.
What's your theory on that?
So she said that he was like, so they argue, like everybody's shocked when she says that. And they all argue like, I thought he was a big roller. And that's how you said you weren't, you would like them. You wouldn't be sleeping with him if he was broke. And he said he was a high roller. And she was like, yeah, $10,000 a night or something. She's so proud of it too. So that's good for her. But I'm thinking that she's like, and then when in this confessional, she said there's assets and there's cash on hand or something like that. And she's like liquid. And I had more money with me than he had, which just means that he had all of his money was invested in some kind of stuff. That wasn't liquid, whereas you got paid $10,000 a night or multiple $10,000 a night, depending on what you were doing. And so you had liquid cash on hand. But that's what it meant. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean he was poor or that you were rich. I don't quite understand it.
I don't understand it. Also, I took it as she was saying that there was an inheritance coming. And I'm assuming that what the inheritance is like, some piece of property or land that her parents or her mom owned or something mm-hmm. that was eventually going to go to her.
Yeah.
And maybe that's worth $150,000. And she thought that that is more money than like the $10,000 that G had with him on hand.
Yeah.
So in her mind, $150,000 in assets or a property is worth more than the $10,000 this man is giving me to
sign his face. Or the flip side is that the man was spending like crazy, but he was actually cash poor and asset poor. And she didn't understand that until she got married to him. And that's when she found out, after she had popped babies, is when she found out, oh, he never had any money with him.
I'm a big fan of Mia just every episode being like,
let me tell Gordon you about Gordon. I want everything. I want to know everything about Gordon. I want Mia and Portia Williams to sit down and compare notes on how Gordon sucked and how what's his name sucked.
Simon.
And like, what was wrong?
You know what? Taria has this theory, which is so smart. She said that Portia is now was going to join the show and be questioned about her marriage. Mm-hmm. But now she's not going to be questioned about her marriage. She's going to be sympathized for being scammed and going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So smart.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I don't think Portia planned it, but I think Portia recognizes. Portia may not know what the Underground Railroad is, but when she sees a dud and she sees a sinking ship, she knows to jump out and, you know, leave it and move on.
That's true. That's a really
good thing. I think that's basic survival instincts, and she has it. And so good for her.
Yeah.
Actually has better survival instincts than Ashley does.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Ashley. Yeah. Ashley is, she shares a song with us. A song that perhaps she sang once or twice in the bathroom, but good for her.
With coffee and tea.
It's better than Coffee and Love. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it is better than Coffee and Love. I was touched and warmed. Like, even with all of the issues, I was touched when Candace gave her the butter knife.
Yes! Is anyone going to call that out? It was such a callback. She was like, here's a butter knife.
But here's a positive thing. Like, here's a butter knife. Sing into it, girl. And I was like, look at Candace giving her a butter knife to sing into. That's progress, people.
I'm so glad you noticed that, because I was like, the editors gave us like a little baby uts, but like it was only a baby uts for anybody who like knows what's going on. It was for all of us who have I gave her a beverage, like, you know, like seared into our brain.
Right. She didn't throw it at her. She gave it to her. And Ashley took it and sang into it. And I was like, Ashley, look at how Candace is supporting you.
And then Candace like lovingly complimented her and was like, I love this journey you're on, blah blah blah.
I don't think Ashley or Giselle noticed that. Like, Candace is somebody who will respond to positive reinforcement. Yes. If they just praise her positive behavior, she will improve.
Yes, exactly.
And they just don't get it. They pick on all of the negative things she does and really blow it up, but they don't notice the positive things she does.
They don't. What also I thought was weird is like Mia is picking this bone with Karen and she's like, I don't understand why Karen's mad at me. And Karen's the one that said that I'm fucking some rapper. And I'm like, yeah, Mia, you went into a restaurant and said that Karen was fucking the host of some other restaurant. Mm-hmm. And now you're acting like you didn't do that. And then Giselle is also like, oh, Karen is just mad because you brought her and she brought you into the group and you don't, you know, kiss her ass. And it's like, also, Mia did this other really bad thing. Like,
But didn't Mia say the same thing to Jacqueline.
Yeah. I just, like, I don't understand because, like, Giselle is just, number one, Giselle doesn't remember anything because I don't think she's really paying attention.
Yeah.
Wait, did you see the stuff come out about her boyfriend, Jason, and how he's been in a relationship for a year?
Yeah, I believe that totally. And she's like already saying, she's already, even in this show, she's like, oh yeah, he's not, we are together, but we are not serious, or I am not monogamous. She said that, right?
Yeah. And then she said, as long as it doesn't come out on social media, it's fine. And it's like, okay, well now it's out on social media that he's had a girlfriend for a year.
Right.
So I actually don't believe that Jason and Giselle have ever done anything.
No.
I think that they are good friends who are using each other.
Yeah.
And losers as a result. Mia and Karen, they fight, whatever. This is when Mia says that she has an inheritance that we still don't get an answer on. What else? Karen tells us about some trainer that she's going to be working out with. Yeah. She also tells us about her wet dreams. She makes a side comment about Robin and Juan wanting Robin to have threesomes.
Yes.
she's like,
we Juan knew wants about that because Karen has been saying that Juan has asked for her for a threesome, right? So that's,
yeah.
So she's like, yeah, we know about that.
But he doesn't want Robin to be part of those threesomes. Yeah. And then, you know, the episode ends on
what Robin. About the new girl? That just popped up.
Oh, yeah, Kiana. You know what? She's good.
I thought she was good. Better than Nekka. Keep her.
Yeah, I like the way they were like, we got to bring Kiana on just so that we don't have to bring Sasha. Like, I believe that that's why Karina
was. That's what it was?
Yeah, that's why she was added to the show, so that they didn't have to, like, pay for Sasha to show up.
Like, how did she pop in? I'm like, did I miss an episode? Because where did she pop in all of a sudden?
She came in, like, the second episode. She came, and then she was also at the oregano joint party.
Right, and she was there, I know. But how did she come and pop in to become, like, now she's...
Well, Robin said, I invited Kiarna because Giselle and I know her from before. Hmm. And that was pretty much it. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. We'll allow
it. I feel like Sasha was not coming in and they paid for a bed.
Yeah.
And they wanted to create the drama of one bed, one less bed available. And correct. So they brought her in.
I love Karen. Last episode where she made she no sense.
Her. She's like, I'm a grown woman who needs her own, toilet.
It was amazing. She doesn't want to share. Then she goes to the receptionist and says, give me a room for $5,000. Mm-hmm. And then the receptionist comes back and probably tells her that there are no rooms. But she says, you guys scared the receptionist because you guys made so much noise. So I'm just going to lay on the couch here, which is so dramatic. Like, isn't that something our moms would do?
That's something I would do.
Yeah.
I almost did.
You did.
This room is too small. It's too tight.
You did.
I went to the front desk and I tried to get another room.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I don't have room to move. I don't have room to, stretch my arms around.
Oh, my God. I mean, your room was tight.
It was tiny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your room and my room were exactly laid out the same, but there was like a foot extra here and a foot extra there that really made a difference.
No, my room was definitely bigger. Yeah. But I loved that Karen was like, no, I'll just sleep here on the couch. Like, it's such a thing that, like, Desi moms do, like, hey, meto yama jongi. Like, I'll just die here. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. No, it's okay. I came here. I'm turning 60.
Yes.
But it's fine.
And this is how you treat elders. Good.
This is how, that's okay. Yeah,
this is how your mothers raised you to treat me. Okay.
And then Ashley, who has been saying, you can sleep in my room.
Yeah.
After all this, and Ashley says, Karen, you can sleep in my room and I will go sleep with Mia. And suddenly Karen is so happy about this plan. And I'm like, but that's what she said the whole time.
I don't think Karen heard her the first time.
She doesn't care. I just like that. I like when she was like, Robin was like, Karen, I think you need to whatever. And Karen goes, Robin, and I think you need to shut the fuck up.
I love the disdain that Karen has for Robin. It's just so funny to watch.
It's my favorite. They're both like kind of obsessed with each other. Like, yeah, they are. I don't know. I just think it's so funny. You want to talk about Married to Medicine?
Sure.
I only watched this last finale episode with the Med Gala, which is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Bravo was like, we're not paying for another event for you guys.
You guys have to figure it out. You have to contribute to it. And they're like scraping together something.
Literally scraping.
And you know it was Jackie's idea, right? You know it was Jackie's idea, but they had to do some event as a finale event. And so they decided to do a Med Gala so they could do this every year. And you know they're trying to make money off of that. So
yes.
Jackie's like, this could become the event and we will make money and we'll do all of it. And, you know. And I think not everybody was, agreed to it in the first place. And then they went reluctantly agreed to it because you went on a vacation. Can you imagine? There was so much happening. They went on a vacation. They came back and then immediately they had to have this.
Yeah.
Like if it was in my normal life, I would be like, I have work. I have kid. I have everything. And then I have two things back to back like that. That's a lot.
And I would think that the way to pay for it would be to say, hey, your local doctor's in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You want to network with us. We're going to be putting together an event and Married to Medicine people are going to be there. And you're going to get to meet with people and you can hobnob and rub elbows and figure out like networking with people who have access to different realms. Mm-hmm. And you have to pay for that ticket.
Yeah.
You pay for the ticket.
Yeah. You buy a table.
Buy a table. Exactly.
Right.
But instead Toya donates her booze.
Yes. So that also like, I am in two minds. I know that people can do in-kind donation.
Yeah.
And then they can do on top of it, but Toya wanted to put her booze in the place because she wanted to get, oh, this is an event. I want free publicity for my booze. But she didn't want to pay. So she was trying to say, I'm buying the booze and I'm donating the booze. And that comes up to so much money. And that's what it is. But Toya, that would have been your marketing budget for your booze. And you could have paid more. You could have gotten a higher billing and, you know, sold your booze. But at the same time, I understand why she's coming. Like, if she said, I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm going to bring in-kind booze so you don't have to pay for the liquor, so you have a savings, that should be taken into account as well. I think it's a misunderstanding of when she decided not to pay for it. It's yeah. almost like they had already organized this, and the day before the event is when the bill came. And then they had to pay for it. And Toya was like, I'm not paying for this and buying the booze for the event. It's bringing the booze.
Very much possible. But I think that in the thought process of the other ladies is, Toya, we did an entire trip to Napa to promote your booze. We're not going to promote your booze again at this event. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Married to Medicine ladies are like famously selfish about self-promotion. Like they yeah. will only promote their own thing.
Right.
And they always hate when somebody else promotes another thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they're probably annoyed about that. But also like it was kind of a janky event.
It was. It was like there's a red carpet and all. But then it seemed like a little – it looked like a hall of some kind. And it was just –
it was kind of sad. It was like it very was. Brightly lit.
And Jackie's speech was terrible. There was no connection. There was just no, oh, we survived and we are here and we survived. I'm like, okay.
Survived what?
Like COVID? COVID was so long ago. So like, what are you trying to talk about right now?
I have no idea.
What are you doing this for other than end of the season party that now you want to be building as med whatever?
Med gala.
And then they come in this over the top dresses that don't quite fit the you know, the location. They're tripping over each other. It was kind of janky, like you said. It's
and they had this trip to Hilton Head, which I only, by the way, I skipped like all of Married to Medicine after they kicked my girl Quad off the island. Mm-hmm. I don't care about all the other shit that they had going
nothing
on.
Nothing much happened.
Yeah.
Other than Kemma, and there was a lot of Kemma and Alicia, which was terrible because Kemma is such a misogynist. Alicia was, at one point, was talking about how, Kemma was saying how he has his wife well-trained and everybody was upset about it. So then Alicia, then they bring it up at lunch, the girls bring it up with Alicia at lunch, and she tells Toya that maybe Eugene should train you too. Maybe he should put a collar on you and train you. And everybody laughs with it, uncomfortable laugh, but nobody calls her out on it and nobody takes it back. I'm like, even Toya, if Quad had said that to you, you would be jumping across the table, choking her out. Why aren't you getting upset with Alicia saying that? It's almost like either they feel so much pity for Alicia that, or they think she's not going to make it to the next season, so they don't care. Or for some reason, Toya gets more triggered by Quad than she does by anybody else. She's like, yeah, it was horrible. And then this episode too, he's like, he has to feed his kid two spoons. And he's like, I wish I had a nanny right now. It's like so much. It's like over and over and over again. And about then, these things. It's not a daddy, joke anymore.
And daddy's like, oh, I love Kima because we get along. And he said he has he can boldly say the things that I believe that like women and men should have.
Right.
Too. I'm like, right. Like hell you believe those things, because the way Heavenly.
Try that with Alora.
No, try that with Alora. And also when Heavenly is rude as hell and calls out in that janky little party about how Toya didn't donate any money and all that stuff, and he's asked about it in the confessional, he flubbers and he's like, oh yeah, I just I don't, you know, I
I'm just here, to, just, just support,
I'm just
her.
To support
I'm
my
just,
wife
yeah
listen, the obsession that the show has with like the patriarchy and marriage really fucking annoys me. The fact that they were like, oh, who all has almost gotten divorced here, and it's like, oh, all of us. And then Phaedra's in her confessional being like, I love that this group loves to stay married. Maybe if I was in this group before with my ex-husband, I would have stayed married. Your ex-husband went to jail. Yeah. Like, come
he was
on.
Threatening you in your garage. You had to call the cops. Stop yes. that. And the fact that he shows up at the reunion, apparently he's showing up at the reunion.
Why? I'm like,
why is Phaedra even in this show? Because she came up with a Nigerian doctor that she pretended to date so she could get on the show. And then he disappeared. She dumped him, or he dumped her. And now she's like hanging around. So she can be single and come on a couple's trip, but Quad cannot. She can be single and come everywhere, and she has no connection to doctors, and she can come, but Quad cannot. It is just weird. The whole thing of how they treat Quad is so weird. And between Daddy and Eugene, Eugene is such a gem. He understands where Toya is wrong, but at the same time, he's like, if you're making fun of my wife and you're making fun of her and you're putting her down, then I am not going to tolerate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was so proud of him for coming to her defense. He doesn't have to be told to defend her. Daddy always has to be told. Like, Heavenly always says, you have to defend me. You have to say something.
Because
say something.
Her behavior is egregious. Yeah. That's why. Because when Toya does egregious stuff, Eugene always is like, he'll set her aside and say something, right?
Right.
Also, their obsession with making Dr. Gregory come back to the show and make include, like, even at that trip at the end, he's like, I appreciate that you guys didn't even bring up my ex-wife and that you guys are being friends with my new wife. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to be allowed to come back here and all this stuff. And obviously he's talking about being on the show, right? Yeah. But I think it's so fucking gross that that Simone, when Quad shows up at the party and Simone is like, Gregory, are you okay? Are you uncomfortable? Who gives a fuck?
Exactly.
Why are you so obsessed with making Gregory comfortable?
Yeah. And why aren't you asking Quad that? Quad is the one that was abused. And Quad, why are you hugging Gregory's neck? Why are you hugging the abuser's neck? Everybody was wrong there. Everybody was weird. It was just like, why? Why are we... Why are we celebrating this man? Why do we have him there? Why is Quad having a conversation? And Quad walks in and she's like, so she treats Sweet Tea as the little girl. She is like, hey, how are you doing, honey? She always talks to her like she's talking down to a girl, little girl that Gregory has somehow pedophiled, right?
He's roped her into whatever. Right. Like, I don't know. I think that it's really gross that the misogyny on the show has always been, like, low-key there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we pointed it out with, like, the way Jackie treats bigger bodies, the way Jackie treats women, the way Heavenly treats women, all that kind of stuff. But this season, it really showed to the point where this is one of my favorite shows. I could not watch it.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it. It was really difficult.
Exactly. It has been my favorite show for so many years, and I could not watch it this year. This season was terrible. And, you know, people are online are saying, well, Heavenly wouldn't have been rude to Toya if Toya hadn't interrupted her and said she should say Dr. Simone. I'm like, she should say Dr. Simone. Because for some reason, Jackie always gets to be called Dr. Jackie. Always.
Yeah. Yeah,
but never Simone. Simone is always put down. I don't understand that.
Well, Simone isn't my favorite this season anyway, because she's really hitched her wagon to the Dr.
Nobody is my favorite other than Eugene. I know. Nobody is my favorite other than Eugene. Eugene is my only favorite on the whole show. He cooks, he cleans, he's takes care of Toya.
He knows she's
crazy, but he, you know, indulges her. He indulges her passions in wine or whatever, tennis or whatever she wants to do.
To being broke, whatever, new house, whatever.
He's just the perfect man, okay? I just think Eugene is perfect. He's sweet. He has a sense of humor. He loves his kids. He just loves his family. I think he's awesome.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah, I'm in love with Eugene.
Eugene.
Call me. Toya would kill me, but...
Toya would murder you. Also, Anila's showed up again. And Anila's now like, I don't even know how I was friends with Quad.
Again, why is Toya coming with Anila? Anila is the one that said that you... You stole her. I don't understand it. Why is Toya still mad at Quad?
I know.
For something Anila said, but not mad at Anila.
It makes no sense.
I don't understand it.
The internet.
Just like when we were at in LA and Nia said that even though Denise and Erica were fighting after that taco dinner.
Taco Tuesdays, yeah.
And then they walked out and hugged each other.
So weird. So weird.
It wasn't on camera, but they did.
So. Yeah. So if you didn't hear this at the Crappies, Nia Renee Hills, she said that she was at the Taco Tuesday event in Rehearsals of Beverly Hills where Denise and Erica had that fight where Denise, what Erica said, the thing about, you know, who makes more money, you or your daughter on OnlyFans. And apparently after the cameras went down, Denise and Erica whispered stuff to each other and gave each other big hugs.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, that Heavenly has taken to the internet and she is dragging Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know.
A little too late, Heavenly.
Yeah. That's true.
Why weren't you dragging before? You were only dragging him because you don't like sweet tea, not because of what he did. I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Or something that, you know, Quad has convinced her that she needs to do. Anybody who worships their man like he's the king and says all of that, it's like weird shit, man.
It is weird shit. Did you see that the Green Eyed Bandits went on their podcast and told Bethany to shut the fuck up, basically?
No.
They said Bethany should put on makeup because she's looking like a ghost. Because, you know, Bethany went on and, you know, Bethany will get on TikTok and have an opinion about whatever. Right. She apparently gave Kelly Rowland, of all people, 1/3 of Destiny's Child.
That was before. No, that's old stuff. That was before Ziploc.
Yeah, this is before the Ziploc bags. But then the Green Eyed Bandits went on and were like, Bethany, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough. Enough of you, Bethany.
That's low hanging fruit. I mean, saying shut up to Bethany is like really low.
I know. Everybody. That's like saying like, I don't like Trump. Okay.
Yeah. I think the unhoused person that I passed in Baltimore today was probably saying, shut up, Bethany.
Bethany, go to sleep.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about, have you been watching Miami?
I have. Oh, Miami has been so good. Miami has overtaken Potomac for me now.
Totally.
So good.
Do you like that in the finale where they're all like, oh, we had such a good time. We're so glad. And my favorite part of that finale was when Alexia goes, and aren't you guys so glad I brought everybody together?
Alexia has shown some hints of the grand dame.
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize that? She's like, she's learning from Karen and understanding that if she is a little self-deprecating, if she lets things brush off her and if she doesn't take herself a little too seriously, she can become the beloved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she's going to go into Teresa land.
Yes.
And nobody wants that for
you, Alexia. She's trying to move away from Teresa and move more towards the grand dame. So
yeah.
I like that. I like that aspect of, I like Alexia and her love for her boys that is like, you know,
toxic
so damaging
times.
For them.
The so long run. Damaging.
But the clingy love that she has is the kind of love that I have for my kid. Yeah. So I get her. I even don't mind Marisol this year. I think they all were pretty good. I think Julia is getting messy enough.
Yeah.
She has gotten quite messy this season and just enough. My favorite is Nicole. I just love Nicole and she's so beautiful. I think she's so pretty and she's so level-headed and it's going to be interesting to see how she changes. I have a feeling this next season she'll change.
Yeah.
There'll be a bitchier version come through.
Yeah, for sure.
I love the Adriana's redemption arc because she has
Emilio Estefan.
Estefan. As her mentor, so all of a sudden now all the women like her because
like she's
like closer to the royal family in Miami, so she's like, oh, she knows the king and the queen of Miami, so now they are like everybody's cheering, they're all cheering her, they're all so happy for her. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you do. Adriana worked hard on whatever this is. I don't know where it's going to go, but whatever it is, she's been working hard.
As long as she doesn't write any more letters on behalf of people's organs. Personally, me, I think every season she should pick a new person's new organ and write a letter on behalf of them. Because I would love that. Like, right on behalf of Larsa's brain, which has been turned off for the last God knows how many years.
She has to find it first.
You know what other thing helped on the season is that Alexia, like, there was an obviously intense thing happening with Gertie, and there was an obviously wrong person here with Larsa and Lisa and all that. So it was really easy for Alexia and Marisol to be like, this is clear cut.
Yes.
All we
have to do is be in the middle and we are fine. No,
all we have to do is support the person who's fighting cancer. Like, that seems simple enough.
Right.
So that's why they're like, oh, this is easy peasy. No problem.
Yeah. You know, it's just say you're right, Gertie, and get out. Like, next season you can say you're wrong. But this season, just say you're right.
I know.
Oh, Gertie and her husband, so good. Oh, best husband in the world.
Best husband.
And then, well, I still like Eugene. But...
Housewife's husband.
Housewife's husband. And then, of course, Kiki. Kiki, the breath, fresh air.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lisa, the mild irritant that is always there.
Like a sty on my butt crack. Like, that's what she is. She's just like a pimple on your butt. Like, she's the worst.
She's like the dry skin that is itchy and just doesn't go away. It's like,
you know what it's like?
It's like the end of winter eczema that happens on my elbow.
I was going to say the end of winter eczema that's happening on my nose because right under my nostril, I'm getting these like dry patches and it always feels like I have a booger, but I don't. It's just dry skin.
Yeah.
And it looks like I have
like
a
dry patch in the in the crook of my elbow and it's itchy and it's very small. I can barely see it. But it feels like a big thing to me.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, irritating.
A
little one-person hydrocortisone would work, but I have to go to the store to buy it, and I haven't done that yet. So it's just irritating.
I understand.
Yeah, that's Lisa.
That is Lisa. Do you care about Kyle and Mauricio's divorce?
No.
Yeah.
Why would I?
No.
It's sad.
And also, we learned nothing.
It's sad. It's sad, but it's also inevitable kind of sad where these things happen. I don't think anything in particular, precipitated this particular breakup. I think it was a whole bunch of things that happened throughout their marriage, and Kyle just, you know, with emptiness syndrome and menopause and Ozempic and whatever, she's just going through a midlife crisis, and she realized that she doesn't have anything else to look forward to, and there's no reason to be with him.
Yeah, but Morgan was at Watch What Happens and rubbing her butt.
Huh?
Morgan was at Watch What Happens rubbing Kyle's butt. So,
so she's
what
like...
I do think is sus is that there is more coming out. Well, I don't think it's sus. It basically just proves what I think is happening. I think Kyle's not coming back to Beverly Hills because she's now revealing more about her marriage on Buying Beverly Hills on Netflix than she is on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Also, that text she sent to Dorit. Also, I was expecting Kathy to show up at some point in the season for her to then show up at the reunion. Mm-hmm. But I'm genuinely confused why Kathy Hilton is coming on the reunion. She was not on the show at
all. Why is Apollo Nida coming on the
reunion?
He's like, what? So Kathy at least is like remotely connected to this.
Yeah, you're right.
Kathy happens to be in, you know, New York, and she called Andy Cohen and he was like, yeah, let's meet for tea, Kathy. And she decided to show up. That's all. Kathy probably didn't even know she was coming there until she showed up.
You're right.
But why is Apollo there? So there's no rhyme or reason to this.
You're right.
They just want to, you know, say something happened. And then I truly think that it wasn't Kathy coming in, but I think Sutton may have had a small stroke of some kind as Kathy was coming in. And even as Kathy's coming in, she's looking at her and her eyes are widening, just like Wendy Williams did before she passed out.
Oh my God.
Remember when she was on live TV? Sutton had the same kind of look on her face as she's looking up like that. She's like disoriented look.
And I don't think it was Kathy that's walking in that happens because I slowed it down. Yeah. It's somebody in flannel. So they're like, maybe it was Morgan.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe it's nobody. Maybe it's just a crew member. It's like edited probably. To look like. Maybe it happened during a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so stupid.
I know.
I hate it.
Bravo needs to, yeah.
Get
it together. This is getting tiring.
I'm not going to lie to you. Summer House, I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I was so determined not to watch it. And then I watched it. And then I'm like, oh, and I'm like even appreciating Paige, you know, leaning into her bed bug face. She's like, yeah, I needed a bed. I need to lie in a bed. She's like, doing advertisements for now.
Beds,
she's
promoting mattresses.
Mattresses.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so smart.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's genius. And and I understand why Sierra might end up making out with the mustachioed guy who's making breakfast for them.
Because
I get
he's
it.
Cooking?
Because no, he seems like a fun guy. He genuinely seems.
He seems like a normal, decent guy compared to all the Southern Charm douchebags.
No, and also like compared to all of the guys who have tried to come in and be like, oh, I'm hot, and that's my only personality.
And the guy that shows up afterwards, what was his name again?
Jesse Solomon.
Yes.
Even he was good. He's singing in the confessionals. He's a jazz singer. I was like, okay.
Okay, but I think he's a douche.
He will, of course. Yeah. But West, I was like, okay, West, you get to stay with your silly little mustache.
And the girls were right. They were like, Jesse probably asked you if you've come already. Have you come?
did I do it?
Yeah, did I do it right? Yeah. And West is probably going to be like, knows when you've come.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
all right. The girls are getting better now.
Yeah, they are. And also, I appreciate Amanda. I'm not going to lie to you. I appreciate Amanda now being like, oh, Kyle, you want me to hang out with you? Well, fuck off. I'm not.
Yeah.
I love
because
that.
Because how many seasons has she cried? Kyle! And then Kyle doesn't show up and hang out with her. And she's like, okay, whatever, dude.
Yeah. And now she has a whole bunch of bed pal friends. And they all want to hang out with her.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do what Kyle's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that marriage is not going to last for too long.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, any other thoughts about Bravo and things in general?
No, I'm good. I'm just happy to talk to you and talk to our listeners because I missed you guys too. I'm like, I've just been moving, changing jobs, getting
big things
that have taken up my life. And then LA.
Yeah.
That trip was so good. I'm still coming out of it.
I know, me too.
It was fun. I want to go again. I feel like I didn't enjoy it enough while I was doing it, like I was on the trip.
Well, I think that this is a couple of months away, but I think that once the football season starts again, Raheel and I want to maybe go out to San Francisco for a game.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when we're out there, we have to go to Napa to visit Shannon.
Oh,
so I think we should really do like a whole trip.
Oh, that would be nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Because we love our Bay Area bitches.
Yes. Yeah. They're so fun.
They're the best. Yeah. Well, Arthi, thank you for being here.
Oh,
I appreciate
welcome.
You.
Thank you for being you. You took care of me while I was in LA. While I was hobbed up on a gummy.
Did I?
Like, yeah, you took care of me. You're like, are you drinking? No, water. It's just water.
I'm still dreaming about our waiter from Tokamaduro.
You wonder about wet dreams. Hello.
So good looking.
Oh, allegedly may have been in a gay porn also, according to our friend Jason. Yeah. But that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
that. So good looking. All the waiters there were so good looking.
I understand. Except for, by the way, you didn't go to Sir. Have you been to Sir?
No. Because you guys went the morning I flew up.
Let me tell you something, Arthi.
I didn't miss much.
It's one of the most disgusting places I've ever sat in.
See, I don't like to go to these nighttime places in the mornings anyway. Because
I can see
probably the vomit stain. So
I think that you'd be able to see it even at night. Everything had like a layer of like, this hasn't been dusted.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sad looking story.
I think it gets more, I think there's more stuff happening there. Just before they film. So maybe in a couple of months, they'll clean up and the filming will start just before Pride, right? They start.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that's when Lisa starts coming in and all of that. And so that's when they clean up.
Did you see that Lisa posted a picture of like a man in a suit with a dog head? And she's like, where can I find this man? where can I find him? And I'm like, Lisa, you're not even pretending like you don't want to fuck the dogs.
She wants to rescue this dog man.
She I was like, if you're a furry, just say it. She would be.
She would be. I can see Ken in a dog costume.
I can't. That's actually how she sleeps with other people that are not Ken, because she's like, just put a dog costume on. Put a thing over your head. I don't need to see it. I'll pretend you're one of the, you know, the many pets one of the pets that I've kept alive. I'm weekend and burning my pets, my dogs that are just barely making it.